Coming up on today's show, Dead City's Christmas Haunt TikTok videos have over 3 million views, and we have what you need to know to get your TikTok up and running. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and this is your Haunt News Briefing for Tuesday, December 15th. First up, Daryl has some news about what happens when city councils get grumpy, the saga of Frank the Christmas Gargoyle, and how to design that careful line between terror and fun.
What happens when you run your haunted attraction from a town-owned facility, but you start a few weeks earlier in a park that residents feel is neglected and underutilized? As Zeke Fortier of 13th World in Cumberland, Rhode Island found out, somebody complains. Diamond Hill Park, located in the community of about 33,000 people, was rented from the town for about $15,000 for the month of October. They normally start set up in September. Because running the event has an extremely high overhead, with 5,000 visitors projected for its run, they started setting up at the end of August this year. This was only 2 weeks, though, after a number of local residents spent time to clean the park. So, they complained to their town council, and a town councilor has decided to hold off on renewing their permit for 2021, until further things are investigated. The town's Parks and Rec director has confirmed the 13th World did comply with all the COVID-19 regulations, and even closed down some nights by 9 o'clock when the lineups got too long. Fortunately, a survey of various users of the park was done, and they received 650 responses, of which 193 actually were willing to serve as volunteers for the park. Between this and other income from events such as 13th World, there may be improvements to the facilities of the park and even more cleaning of the park. Well, let's hope everything works out for 13th World and the Cumberland Town Council. Speaking of complaints, have you seen the ongoing war of Frank the Christmas Gargoyle? Someone has placed a Santa hat on the gargoyle on their front step, and evidently neighbors don't take kindly to it. Feel free to follow along with the Adventures of Frank the Christmas Gargoyle on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, we're looking for your creepy Christmas photos. How do you guys decorate? Is it a gargoyle? Do you have a Jack Skellington tree? Check out our post on Haunter's Toolbox, and you can see some of the other folks and see what they're doing. Brian has also posted a call out for women haunters as someone is writing a book. More details are on the Haunters Toolbox Facebook page. Previously, we talked about the concept of recreational fear based on a recent study by a team of researchers led by Mark Anderson from Aarhus University in Denmark. These researchers employed the concept of recreational fear to describe how humans could possibly experience fear as enjoyable. Now, us being haunters, we know what that's all about. Frank T. McAndrew, a PhD, has posted an article in Psychology Today discussing this a little bit more, and going into the fact that most species of animals play, and the more the social the species, the more important play becomes. In the haunted house realm, Anderson and his colleagues investigated the relationship between fear and enjoyment in a study conducted at Dystopia Haunted House, a popular Danish scare attraction. They equipped 110 visitors into the haunt with lightweight heart rate monitors, and the researchers recorded their actions by being chased by a very large man with a butcher's apron and a grotesque pig's mask, or being startled by zombies lurching out of hiding. In particular, the study reported high levels of both enjoyment and fear, although women overall registered higher levels of fear and lower levels of enjoyment than did men. Increasing the amount of fear also increased the amount of joy, up to a certain point, beyond which the enjoyment declined just as fear became more intense. So there's a sweet spot that provides the optimal experience of recreational fear. Is this something that you find for yourself? That you enjoy being scared up to a certain point? And then it's just not fun anymore? As haunters, that's something that we need to know how to do as well for our customers so we can give them the maximum amount of fear without turning our haunt into a negative experience.
And now, some of this haunt's Christmas videos have been going viral, and we're going to find out how they did it.
Ms. Josh Sumption, and I am the marketing director for Dead City Haunted House in Murray, Utah. This year was our second year doing our Krampus night, and we look at it as basically an entire overlay of the whole show. So similar to what Disneyland would do with the Haunted Mansion, every single set gets lights, every single set gets decorations, all the characters are completely overhauled. There's none of the masks are used from the main season, none of the costumes are used from the main season, and all the soundtracks are swapped, all the scents are completely different. It's a completely different show from entry to exit.
And what COVID safety precautions did you institute for the event?
We installed bridges above the show. We installed UVC air filtration systems. All of our backstage interaction happened completely out of the building. Nightly fog sanitation went through. All regular surfaces were cleaned. It's just everything you could do and then some.
Let's talk now about the video promotion that you all did, specifically the TikTok and short form videos.
For our Krampus show, we wanted to really make sure that we were highlighting these characters and trying to advertise it as much as possible. We originally started with these two ice elves and we recorded just a couple fun skits with them. With our regular commercial shoot that we did, we allotted about 50 to 75% of the time we normally would have spent getting more shots to just doing these TikTok videos. Those started to really bite and it was a surprise. So we went back that weekend immediately and re-filmed a new character, the Jack Frost, Mr. Freeze. He's got a million different names. We went, filmed him, and almost 80% of the time with him was spent doing TikToks. It was a complete shift from how we've ever done anything in the past because our entire focus on building the content and generating the assets was now for these vertical mobile videos. It takes time to go through and really get an idea of what you want to do for all your videos. It's not just something you're going to just turn the app on and just have success with. Not only do we film them once, but we film them at least twice in different locations because in our minds, we were like, okay, well, this sound might work with this character, but it might not work with this background. And after the first couple of videos, all of a sudden it was like, okay, 15,000 followers. Okay, 20,000 followers. And I was like, whoa. And then it's barely been 4 weeks. We've gained about 60,000 followers.
Do you know that it translated into ticket sales?
I didn't really understand how powerful it was going to be until the event happened. And all of a sudden, there's people from Vegas showing up in line saying that they saw this crazy blue monster demon dancing around on their TikTok and they want to see him. They at least want to get a photo with him. And I wish we had a better way to track exactly who came in specifically through TikTok, but it was at least one group every 10 minutes or so would mention that they were here to see the Jack Frost, the Mr. Freeze, the TikTok star. And you keep hearing from people around you too, like, oh, I saw you guys on TikTok with the one guy. And it's surreal. You got to keep posting things even after the success happens. And that's where I feel like a lot of people like kind of tunnel vision themselves is once they get that major hit, they're like, if every video I post after that's not going to be the same, then I can't use the app anymore. And I mean, I'm content if we never see the kind of turnout in numbers we've seen with this video, because if anything, it's been a learning experience and a teaching experience for everybody else, but it's given us the audience to finally get recognized and to be pushed to the next level to where we had really struggled before.
And I want to dig a little bit deeper into the shooting process and the shooting day. So you decided ahead of time what type of content you wanted to be doing, and then you set a day for shooting and a time period with the actor, and you got the makeup and organized all that. Is that how it went?
We had a exact idea of the shots we were going to do for the main commercial promo and all the regular marketing photos and everything like that. So we had all of that planned out and ready to go. On top of that, we had a good couple audio bites or favorited sounds that we could use for new skits and new little TikTok videos. And on the actors actually came with ideas themselves, which was really fun. So it's to have success like this, you definitely need a good team. And we had awesome, awesome actors. You can go into it having a good idea of what you're going to do, but always be open and prepared for the last minute ideas, because some of those are going to be your best ones.
Sounds like you created multiple videos during one session with the actor. So you're not like, it's not like you're not coming back every day and doing makeup, 4 hours of makeup for just like one TikTok video. You're trying to get as many as possible. And then later, when you looked at all the videos, how did you choose which ones you wanted to post?
So when you go through and you make your videos after your, I guess in TikTok, you save them as a draft before you would go in and post them. And we just went in with both shoots and banked up the drafts. So we made sure we had 20 plus different videos to go ahead and post. And some of them, it just didn't work. They'll probably never see the light of day. I don't know. We'll see, maybe. But it's difficult because there was ones I wanted to hold off for, and then they just felt right to post right away. And there's ones that I never thought would have been the successful ones, and they were the biggest hits. It's impossible to tell what's going to go viral or not. And I think where people kind of kick themselves in the face or kick themselves wherever for is that they can't figure that out. They want to have it understood and ready to go, and they want to be able to be the constant viral success. And unless you have like millions and millions of followers, you're not going to be able to get that with every video. So you got to make as much content as you can with the hopes that at least one will buy it. It's almost like, I guess if you're going to compare it to anything, compare it to going fishing. Like, you're going to sit in the boat for hours. You're probably going to maybe catch one thing, but I mean, that's not going to discourage you from keep going out and fishing the next time. And if it does, you shouldn't be fishing.
A big question I think a lot of the owners have here to kind of wrap up would be, how do you stay on brand with the content that you're creating? There's a line, right, between just doing whatever is trending and kind of trying to copy anything, and then also making sure that it's still related to your business, which is a haunted attraction. So how do you find that line?
You find it with the characters you're using. In this case, where we were at with our Jack Frost character, we were able to make him really fun in the personality. He was naturally creepy to where you put this almost sweet persona behind him. So he's playful, but he's in pain, I guess, if you're going to say it like that. So to stay on brand with everything, we just wanted to show that he's the experience of the Krampus night, for lack of better words. He's the creepy, but the fun. So the Krampus night is the creepy of the haunted house, but you're going to get the fun enjoyment of the Christmas. And so he represented that event perfectly. And so staying on brand with him for this type of thing, it was really easy because there's certain videos that you could easily just go out and try to replicate, but they're not necessarily going to work for that character. And I guess that kind of ties into what I mentioned, that there are videos that aren't going to see the light of day because there are several drafts we did that just don't tie to the character, sadly. And we didn't know that while we were shooting them, but as he started to grow online and as we started to do more of these videos and people kind of took the personality they wanted from him, I don't know, there's probably two different videos that just wouldn't be on brand with what he is now, if that's kind of what you're asking.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So where can we find these videos if we want to follow you on the social medias?
At Dead City Haunted House is our TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. And then Twitter is just at Dead City Haunt.
And that is it for today. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and this was your Haunt News Briefing. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you catch our shows every Tuesday and Thursday. And if you like this episode, please leave us a review in iTunes and share this episode with a friend. Today's episode was sponsored in part by Gantam Lighting and Controls. It was produced by me, Philip Hernandez, with post-production and editing by David Swope, and music provided by Chris Thomas. The news was reported by Daryl Plunkey, and if you want to be part of the conversation, join our Facebook group at Haunters Toolbox. If you have news or a story to report, drop me a line at philip@hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And until next time, everyone, stay scary.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.